Yeah, Jesus, we want that to be true in our lives. In the midst of a world that seems so attractive, in the midst of a world that seems so enticing, Father, may you be all our heart wants. Not gold, not riches, not fame, but you. Because Jesus, without you, none of this matters. Without your death, without your resurrection, without your victory over sin and death, none of this matters, Jesus. And because this is true, and because we believe this, and because we sing it, and because we declare it, Jesus, we know that you can give us victory over those things that seem to be drowning us and seem to be killing us, whether we know it or not. So Jesus, thanks for the cross. Jesus, thank you for salvation. Thank you for eternal life, but thank you for freedom from sin and freedom to enjoy life. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Hey, you guys can go ahead and be seated. Thanks, Ben, for leading us. Hey, if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to 3 John. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it. Hey, everybody give Joe a hand. Joe is our podium boy for the year. Make sure you wave. Everybody feeling good? That's Kanye. We don't have to go to Kanye yet. Thanks, Joe. Anyways, 3 John. This is the last talk in our 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John series. And so after this, you can say that you've completed a large portion, a large percentage of the Bible in your own personal study. You've knocked out 3 of the books in just one summer. And so last week, we went through which book? It's not hard. We're doing 3 John. 2 John. That's it. I appreciate it. That's good. What did we talk about? What was the point of Tori's talk in 2 John? Does anybody remember? Protecting the truth. And? Is there another part of that? Preston, you're just guessing at this point. What was it about? Protecting the truth. Know the truth. Protect the truth. Everybody say, know the truth. Protect the truth. Know the truth. Protect the truth. Hey, what did Tori talk about last week? All right, less enthusiastic. All right. Hey, 3 John is going to bring forward a big question. And it is going to present, honestly, a truth that might sting or a challenge that might sting a little bit, but it's John's last letter outside of Revelation before he heads off into the great heavens above. But he's going to be asking a question. And the question is, what's your reputation? What are you known for? What do people say about you? And so what I thought I would do before we jump into kind of the more serious portion of it is just have a little fun. How are the cheese balls? Still good? Still going. All right. It's good. How far? Hold it up for everybody so we can see where you're at. Everybody give them a hand. We're doing good. Slow and steady. You got 2 cups of water today. You've come prepared. That's awesome. Reputation. We'll get back to this. So what I wanted to do is just throw up a couple key figures, important figures in our world today, and see what do you think about them? What do you have to say about these people? So the first one was spoiled, but it's Kanye. That wasn't anything. What words come to mind? Thank you. Thank you. Very cool. All right. Kim, what? Clothes. What else? What words come to mind when you think of Kanye? Genius? Okay, that it doesn't seem like okay. Pablo? You're just renaming the guy. Just give me like a characteristic. Bipolar. I like that one. That's a good one. Bipolar. What about this guy? What did they say over here? He's, I can't say, well, he stinks.
Soft.
Soft, wow. Cocky, okay. So this guy's not cocky? No, he's humble. He's humble. LeBron, say on LeBron. Traitor? No. Hunter, what do you think about LeBron? He's your boo. That's weird. Alex is your boo. What about this guy? President. Okay, these are just, that's good. I did ask for words. That's fair. Descriptions. Personality. Spray tan. Earlier they said orange. Taylor, what do you think? What do you think about Trump? We'll talk about it later. Politically correct. What about misreputation? How do we feel about Taylor? Are we fans of Taylor anymore? Do we like, has she produced anything lately? Has she produced anything? Well, that's so 2017. What has she produced lately? Nothing. What do you think about Taylor? Just be honest with me. You love her, my girl. Breakups, heartbreaker. Scandalous. That's a good word. It's a big one. What about this guy? Yeah. Caleb, that's again an applause. Give me some words to describe Caleb. Okay. Crazy. Crazy is a good word to describe him. What? Branson. You guessed it. How many of you guys know that Caleb is from Branson? Does anybody know his reputation in Branson? Really good. Country Bart. It's another story. Flat puppy. That's part of it. Do you know that Caleb was in the Dixie Stampede? And he can hook you up. He can get you free shows at the Dixie Stampede. Probably a few of them. One at a time. We could sneak them in. Everybody in here has a reputation. Whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, you have a reputation. People have a perception of who you are. And what we're going to see in the story of 3 John, in the text of 3 John, is that your reputation communicates to people. And because people have an opinion of who you are, that's usually a reflection to them of what you believe or what you don't believe. And here in a few days, you guys are going to head back to school. Anyone excited for that? A few people. Okay. And here's what's going to happen. Is you're going to wake up the morning of the first day. Maddox, this one, I'm talking to you. You're going to wake up, Maddox, early in the morning. You're going to have your outfit already laid out. Correct? Have you already thought of your shirt? Already thought of the shirt. This makes sense. You're going to wake up. You're going to wake up and you're going to get out of bed and you're going to take a shower, brush your teeth, all of those things. And then you're going to put on your outfit that you've prepared in advance because you know it looks good on you. And you know you got to look fly on your first day. You got to look sharp because you want people to think right of you. You want people to think of you and think good about you. Make sure your shoes look good. You're going to grab your backpack. You're going to walk downstairs or walk into the kitchen. You're going to eat your Eggo or your cereal or your eggs and bacon because your mom loves you. Does anybody eat Eggos anymore? Is that a real food that people consume? All right, good. What about toaster strudels? No? Those are out. And you're going to leave your house. Get in your car, which I've seen some of your cars, pretty nice. And you're going to pull into your school. And you're going to walk through the doors. And yes, you are going to appear a certain way, but that's probably not going to change people's opinion. Because you're going to carry your reputation with you. the good and the bad. And so you're going to walk through classes, you're going to go through situations, and there are going to be people who have certain opinions of who you are. You can't escape the fact that you have a reputation. And then you're going to come to a Wednesday night, which what happens on Wednesday nights? Or Sundays, for those. Cell group. And what is everybody focused on about cell group? What's the number one priority of cell group?
Food.
Exactly. So we got Poncho's queso up here. Anybody ever had this? This is still good. Does anybody want to try it?
I do.
Okay, come here. Preston, you can come too. Hunter, I know you love this. You guys, you come up here too if you want. Yeah. Hunter showed me this. Hint of lime, Tostitos, and Poncho's queso. Apparently it's the best thing that exists. So you guys just enjoy. Yeah, just eat it. Just don't be a distraction. But here's the deal. It's Wednesday nights roll around, and you have your focus is on, okay, I got to make sure I get to cell group. I got to make sure I get pizza. That's usually what you're going to eat at cell group. But you got to make sure you're going to eat. You're going to try to make sure you're connecting with the right people and all these things. But your focus is going to be on trying to appear a certain way because you're at cell group. This isn't school anymore. I've got to put on a different front. I've got to have a different reputation here, but you still have a reputation. And it doesn't change either when you come to church. There are decisions that you've made. Does anybody want one of these? I bought them. They're just free. I'm trying to be like Oprah today. I don't know if I'm really doing a good job, but you get a journal. You get a journal. You get a notebook. That's right. I got three more. Taylor, you got a paying job. You got to come get it. You guys can come get them down here. Yeah, in a second. They were 50 cents, tax-free. But you're going to come to church, and you're going to have your journal. You're going to make sure you get your donut. You want it? Okay, you can have that one. Cut in halves because we're running out of donuts, apparently. You're going to bring your Bible, and you're going to put on an appearance. But your reputation carries. People are going to have opinions about you. And some of those are because maybe you've done something that has rightfully deserved some thought. Or maybe you feel like you're necessarily, yeah, you guys can sit down. You guys, yeah, you can take it with you if you want. You guys can, yeah, press it, yeah, sure. Took that really, really quickly. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're at cell group, church, school, or with your family, you do have a reputation. And oftentimes we try to trick people too and go, I've got to be one person here and another person here, but your reputation is your reputation. And here's what John is going to try to challenge us towards is that people are going to know you and people are going to have opinions of you. His preference is that you would be known for good and not for evil. That you'd be known by people as a person who brings life into situations instead of death. And so 3 John, the closing of the Apostle John's writings. What's your reputation? And how do people perceive you? He starts by laying out some of the background of the book. That John is the author that was written probably around 80, if you have your notebooks and those pieces of paper that have all the different places where you can fill in. The 80, 90 is probably when he's writing this. This is towards the end of his life. He's probably on the island Patmos where he writes Revelation. This is one of his last letters he's going to send out. There's some importance behind that. He's writing it as an encouragement to hold fast to truth in a loving manner. And he's writing specifically to a guy named Gaius. And you can translate that and you can look at it and go, well, it still applies to us as the church. And so 3 John opens with an introduction to Gaius. It says, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it is well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified. See, I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and started to share with your love before the church and started to share what you have been doing. As indeed you are walking in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. Does anybody know what a testimony is? Or to testify in court? Is anybody familiar with this? Has anybody had to? I don't know if you legally are allowed to. But I remember when I was in high school, I worked in a pharmacy, and I might have shared this story before, but I worked in a pharmacy, and I remember standing behind the counter one day, and this guy came in, and he, just to be blunt, he looked like a druggie, and he handed me a prescription to have the pharmacist fill, and I looked at it, and it looked like chicken scratch, and I kind of was like, this doesn't look right, handed it to the pharmacist, and goes, yeah, this is a fake prescription. We cannot give this guy his pills. And so I am sitting there, and going, well, what do we do? How do I navigate this? And he goes, well, when he comes back to the counter, just give him this bag and count his money back to him really slowly. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, that sounds really, really logical. And so the guy comes to the counter, and I'm standing there, and again, just looking at him, I'm going, I don't want anything to do with you. You're going to murder me if I screw this up. And I hand him the bag, and he hands me a $100 bill, and I'm literally counting pennies. Just one by one, just looking at the pharmacist going, what do we do from here? Like, I'm just giving this guy his stuff. And he goes out to try to get a picture of the guy. And so I'm standing back there. He opens up the package, and he pulls out a pill bottle full of Skittles. Which, by the way, is genius. When I think about it, like, that was awesome. But it's not awesome when it's right in front of you, and you have $100 of his money. And so I'm literally like, all right, this is where I die. And he turns, and the pharmacist is right behind him, taking a picture, and he grabs him and throws him into one of those aisles, and it starts to fall over, and he sprints out the door, and they don't catch him for about 3 weeks. But for those 3 weeks, every time I went to work, I was terrified. And then they caught him, and they sent me a letter basically saying, hey, you've got to come to court to testify on what has happened. And that's the picture. Is no, not John's not talking to guys who's a druggie, but he's saying, hey, people are coming to me and they're telling me about you. They're testifying to who you are, and what they're telling me is good. He says, this is the record that I'm receiving. Beloved, it's a faithful thing you do in all of your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your light, who've told me about your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for truth. And so Gaius could be described in these three different ways. He's a person who holds to the truth. He believes it, and he holds on to it. He cherishes it. He values it. He sees it as the utmost authority in his life. But he also allows himself to walk in it. He hears the truth, and it transforms the way that he lives, and he goes out and he loves others. He holds to truth. He receives teaching. He allows it to change him, and then he goes out and he actually lives what has been taught to him. That's Gaius. But there's another guy on the board, I don't even know how to say his name, Diotrephes, Dio is what we're going to call him. Dio has a different reputation. And this is what John says about him. He says, I've written something to the church, but Dio, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So here you have John on one side going, hey, I've got this guy. Who's the man? Gaius, you are the man. You love truth. You hold fast to it. And then we got another guy who's selfish and doesn't want to submit to authority. And he says, so if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. So on one side, you have a guy's reputation. He's holding fast to truth. He's walking in truth. He's loving people well. But then you have another person's reputation who's selfish, who doesn't want to listen to the authority in his life, And he's got no love for people. He doesn't want to care about other people. All he wants to care about is himself. Two reputations. Gaius is trying to follow the Lord. Diotrephes seems to want to follow himself. He closes with a summation of everything. It says, "Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone, and from the truth itself, we also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true." When I was in college, I got put in a really awkward situation. And this is one of the most practical ways I can show this to you. Because your reputation isn't always that you are trying really hard to commit sin and trying to bring destruction and trying to tear everything down. Sometimes you're unaware of your reputation. And here's the deal. As I remember sitting in college, I was with my fraternity brothers, and we did this thing where we all had to get in a circle. And each fraternity brother had to sit in the middle, and everybody in the circle could say whatever they wanted to the person in the middle, but the middle person could not say anything. He literally had to take it on the chin. And you can just, even sitting here, you can feel how much anxiety that probably brings. To sit in your cell group and let them say whatever they want to say about you, good or bad. And you can't say a word back to them, is what it felt like. And so guys are going around and they go, "Man, Thomas, we love you. You do a great job with this. You do this. Next person." And then it would get to like a guy who doesn't really know the Lord, and he goes, "Man, every time we bring a girl over, you're the first one to try to talk to her." Which, like, that's not really a big deal. But then another guy would say it, and another guy. And one of my big struggles was I wouldn't say I was a player. That sounds weird. But that's how they perceived it. And so I'd actually go on to say that most people who were not believers in my fraternity had this perception of me that if there was a cute girl that came to the house, Thomas was going to try to step in and talk to her or try to steal her. That wasn't my intention, but that was my reputation. And so following that were some practical steps that I had to acknowledge. That I was actually being known for not good, for things that weren't honoring the Lord, things that weren't really glorifying him. In fact, I was being known for things that were pushing guys away from the Lord. As silly as that seems, but you can go down the ladder and you can go into specifics and go, yeah, for me it might have been being perceived as a player, but for you it might be perceived as someone who's a gossiper or someone that no one in your cell group could trust. Or somebody that is always disrespectful to teachers or to their parents. Sin, yes, creates a lot of this situation. But are you aware enough and are you honest with yourself to look at your life and go, man, the way that I'm living actually doesn't carry the best reputation it could. The way that I'm living doesn't actually communicate to my friends that I really do love the Lord and want them to love the Lord. Yes, you are going to struggle with things. But that doesn't mean you can't just be honest about it. I would much rather have guys come to cell group who are struggling with sin and are honest about it than people who are hiding their sin and creating a reputation at school that doesn't line up with who they are at cell group. Are you tracking with me? So I understand that you're going to struggle. Just be honest about it. And let people into your life who can hold you accountable, who can push you towards a positive reputation because you're representing Jesus. And so sometimes that looks like a friend going, hey, I see this in you, but I want to help you. I want to help you no longer be perceived this way. Let's try to work together to put on a reputation in front of people that communicates the truth of what we believe. And then lastly, look actually at the different scenarios of your life. One of our biggest fears in ministry is this, is that y'all behave a certain way in this room and completely different at school. We're not ignorant to this. We understand that we're getting one personality here and then there's another personality that sometimes comes out at school. But what if you carried who you are here into your schools? What if you carried the way that you live at a retreat or on a mission trip back into your cell group or back into your family? Because at the end of the day, I want you guys to be known for good and not evil. At your schools, in your cell groups, here at church, and wherever God would want to take you. Let's pray. Hey, Father, thanks so much for this morning. God, I pray that just this simple truth, that we all have reputations. And some of that is by mistakes, and some of that is by our own personal decisions. But God, one, I pray for everyone in this room that they would understand that your grace is sufficient to forgive them of sin and to create in them a new creation. But on top of that, Jesus, that you have called us to a life that honors you and glorifies you. And so, Jesus, for every single guy and girl in this room, may their minds be transformed, and may their hearts be transformed, and may their reputations at school and cell group and church be transformed so that they can see their cities and their friends' lives transformed. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for the cross. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Hey, you guys are dismissed. We will see you here next week. And so make sure you're texting your friends, letting them know that cell group's starting back up. See ya.